Since the dawn of the 21st century, scientific discovery has rushed forward at lightning speed. Genetics, physics, computerized technology, robotics, virtual reality. Join Derek and Sharon Gilbert as they uncover the truths behind this ultimate scientific deception. Get ready for Sci Friday.
Flying snakes. It's
science!
Sci Friday from Skywatch TV. Welcome. I'm Derek Gilbert. Joining us are science advisor and my best friend, my co-author of the book Veneration and the author of the best-selling Red Wing Saga, Sharon K. Gilbert.
Hi, sweetie pie. Suddenly I'm seeing Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, we just can't say it the way he does in that film.
No. Not at all.
No.
We will get to the flying snakes shortly.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, hey. You're all patriotic.
Well, yes, red, white, and blue. This is as close as I can get anyway for the 4th of July weekend.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I used to have a red and white dress that was very obviously patriotic. I don't know how this one looks on camera, but trust me, it is red, white, and blue.
I had some of those really wide trucker suspenders that are red, white, and blue, but thought, nah, it's just...
a little bit much.
I'll leave that to the guys who are actual professionals who actually need those because they're lifting and, you know, carrying loads and stuff.
Now, are we doing this? Because patriotism is no longer cool.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but we're not cool, so we don't care.
We really don't care. Honestly, we so don't care. There are a lot of things going on this weekend regarding Independence Day, but one of those is that statues, mm-hmm. prominent statues that are important to governments, say Washington, D.C., and state capitals, they are going to be guarded.
Yes. It is a weekend possibly of protest. We shall see.
I pray it is not.
Yeah, I do too, and I pray for the safety of those who are called upon to work and defend those this weekend. Patriotism is no longer cool in these United States, which is sad. We recognize as Christians that we're not, our first priority, our citizenship is really in a kingdom headed up by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we are called upon in the Bible to be good citizens, to live peaceable lives, to live uprightly so that no one can
to pray for our leaders, regardless of that leader's party.
That is correct. So there are aspects of the physical realm. I mean, we live in the natural realm, and so we have to be at least aware of what's going on in the political world while understanding that we are never going to vote anyone into the kingdom of heaven.
Let me rephrase what you just said.
Okay, please do.
We perceive that we live in the natural realm. But the
right.
fact is, what we call the supernatural realm is all around us.
That's true.
And we just don't see it.
Yes, and we live in the supernatural realm as well. Let me put it this way. Reality is much bigger than what we perceive with our natural senses.
So much so. Now,
right.
that's going to take us to a new story. Did you know that using implants and light, or altered DNA and light, scientists can make a mouse smell something that is not there. They are calling it smell inception.
Really?
It's the grape inception, honey. It's your new book.
Yeah.
But it's essentially activating the neurons within a certain portion of the brain that if your brain believes that you are smelling a grape or peanut butter or mm-hmm. onions or apples or whatever, you will smell it, even if it is not there. I wonder if we can be incepted mm-hmm. into thinking that there are people, entities around us that are not there if you activate the visual cortex.
So how does this work? How does light trigger?
Well, through optogenetics, which is a way to insert a light-sensitive protein, it would actually be the genes encoding for it, into a neuron cell, then you can train that neuron cell to react to light.
Hmm.
So you can shine a specific wavelength at through the eye or whatever it is you're trying to activate. You can use lasers to do it, and you would make that person smell something that isn't there, remember something that once happened, turn a particular direction. Hmm. These are all experiments that have taken place using optogenetics.
Wow. What would be the...
It's a field that's been around for 10 years or more.
What would the benefit be? What would a use? What would that be useful
One use
for?
Might be for someone who no longer can smell anything. And so, you say, if you don't smell that sulfur smell that is put into gas,
and
you have
gas.
A gas leak,
right.
You wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, I don't know, if you want to remember, say you have Alzheimer's, and the Alzheimer patient can no longer remember certain things in his or her life. We all know that smells will trigger memories.
Sure.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that if you are incepted to smell something that isn't there, that you will actually remember it. But there are other experiments that use optogenetics to help trigger memories or restore memories that have been lost.
Hmm. Interesting. And again, optogenetics, using light to activate genes within the body.
Yes, to activate proteins within a neuron.
Okay.
So that the neuron then switches on.
So this could be done using light to trigger other senses, perhaps, or other behaviors?
Or even to incept extrasensory perception.
Well, that's interesting.
Like I said, if you can tell the brain to remember something that actually happened, then you could convince the brain that something that did not happen happened. Hmm. As in, I was taken by a UFO. Or I encountered a ghost last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or there's a ghost standing in front of me now.
And there are those who would claim then that that would be an explanation for legitimate religious or spiritual experiences.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
Hmm.
Is science there yet? Don't know. Because the literature that is actually released online is indicating that it's very early days. However, this has been going on for a while, and what is announced is often 30 or 40 years behind what is actually being done in secret.
Yeah, and some of these laboratories conducting experiments may possibly be connected with military research.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, speaking of military research, I have been conducting research for a chapter that I'm writing for Tom that discusses the idea in the 1960s of using drugs, LSD in particular, to induce altered states and then suggesting, not using optogenetics, but just good old drugs mm-hmm. to gain entry into a person's mind so that you could convince that person that killing the person sitting beside him or her was a good thing to do because that was just a nail you were trying to hammer into the wall. And the hammer you're using is a gun.
Hmm. That's sort of a Manchurian Candidate type.
Very, very much like it. In fact, it was trialed in Vietnam. Operation
really?
Phoenix.
Oh, on our soldiers.
Well, on the locals. Operation Phoenix was all about doing things to the Vietnamese,
right?
But blaming it on the Viet Cong.
Okay.
Look, if you're watching this again, this is we're in Independence Day mode, so we love our country, but do our politicians make wonderful decisions every day? No. Sometimes they get involved in things that are frankly duplicitous.
Yeah.
And it's all done in the name of trying to win and trying to be the good guys. If you go and you say, okay, it was the Viet Cong that did this. We're the good guys. Allow us to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Join our side.
Yeah. False flag, in other words.
It's false flag, yeah. But China was doing the same thing.
Right, right.
That doesn't make it right, though.
No. And it's sadly, this is the kind of thing that, thanks to information that's been declassified over the years, we're aware that this has gone on far more often in our recent past than we'd like. And again, we want to reiterate, we are proud to be Americans, but we have to recognize
Absolutely.
That there are things that have been done in our names by those elements inside the government who may have a different agenda than what they've been telling us that are really, really despicable. I mean, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, we now
yes.
know from declassified NSA documents, didn't happen.
No.
We know now from declassified documents that President Roosevelt knew the Japanese were sailing towards Pearl Harbor and deliberately withheld that information from Admiral Kimmel at Pearl so that he took the blame for not being prepared for attack that the government in Washington knew was coming.
And this is not any particular party that does this.
Right.
Both parties have been involved in this sort of behavior.
Right. So, unfortunately.
And it's rationalized by we need to do this to win.
Right.
We're seeing the same thing with the construction of AI.
Yeah,
we have
yeah.
to do this in order to win because we don't want the other side to get it first.
Right. And this is the kind of thing where, as Christians in America, it can be very difficult because we conservative Christians tend to be very patriotic. But, we have to overcome that cognitive dissonance and realize, hey, look, not everything done in the name of America is good, is biblical, and is Christian. And we know that there are things that have been done, that have been disclosed, that, look, we can't ignore those things and pretend that everything our government does is good, true, righteous, and in the cause of Christ, because it just frankly is not.
Well, absolutely. And while we're talking about our government, and again, we are very patriotic. We wish our government always made good choices, but that's the nature of sin.
Right.
Humans are in charge of government. Therefore, you will have sinners in charge of government.
Yes.
During this whole COVID crisis, we were told early on by Dr. Brix and by Dr. Fauci that when we had more testing available, that the number of cases would rise and that the death count should go down relative to the number of cases, the increase in cases. That is exactly what we have seen. Exactly what we have seen. And yet, the mainstream media is spinning this as if this is a major second surge of the virus, that it's we all need to once again, flatten the curve. No, this is happening because we are testing more. But also, yesterday and the day before, I was reading various studies that have looked at the testing, both the nuclear and the antibody testing that are being done across the United States and across the world. And they're not really reliable, especially the very quick nuclear ones, the ones that you can get that answer in 15 minutes.
So we're getting perhaps more false positives than
we're getting false positives and false negatives. In fact, there was a, who was was he a golfer, I think, who tested positive, and PGA golfer, tested positive just a few days ago, I think. It was just, at least the story came out a few days ago. He was tested again twice. It was negative on tests 2 and 3. But he had already gone into quarantine and left the tour.
Oh, wow.
As well as others who tested positive.
Potentially loss of income, which, of course.
Potentially loss of income.
Yeah.
And also, we have not only a person who is tested, let's say you test positive, then the contact tracing has to go into effect. And you have to follow up everyone who's been in contact with that individual and recommend that they stay home. That means loss of income. I think we are seeing the result of more testing, but also possible faulty testing.
More testing, faulty testing, perhaps also when you look at the graph that I'll put up here on the screen showing the daily new cases and the surge, we as we record this, just passed 50,000 new cases in a day for the first time. So you can see the trend in daily new cases has really jumped since about the middle of June.
Well, because the lines are really long to be tested. A lot of companies, when your workers are coming back, they're required to test the workers.
Right.
And in some cases, every day.
Yes. And there was a surge in the number of new people who went back to work in June. The unemployment rate dropped
over
much further than expected.
Million.
Yeah. So you've got that. But at the same time, you've got the, and not to make this a completely political show, but we should also point out that the surge in the number of new cases began about a couple of weeks after the mass protests began happening in over 600 cities across the United States.
But so this is where we get into science. Not only do you have scientists who are leading the way, who are directing politics, directing policy, but we also have scientists who are talking to mainstream media, and mainstream media is trumpeting very, very loudly that this is a major surge that is very, very dangerous. We have to make sure that everybody is locked down again. except, of course, if you're a protester.
Yeah, and there are some political reasons for that. Certainly, they don't want the rallies for President Trump, you know, 20,000 people packing a stadium, because there's an energy to that that is not...
Exactly, but the reason I bring science in on this is not only because scientists are leading it.
Yes.
But because there is a science behind the idea of programming individuals through media. We are all subject to that. You mm-hmm. might say we are being incepted through media. We're convinced that the idea is ours.
About 100-year-old practice, and prior to that, you know, really savvy politicians, kings and you know, royalty for years understood that a really good way to remain in power was to designate an outside enemy as the other, mm-hmm. or sometimes an internal enemy. The Jews have a long history of being mm-hmm. the other in nations where they had fled after the second century. But that this is something that is really become a highly refined art over the last century or so, where public perception really shifts with the way things are portrayed, both in news media, but also in Hollywood, popular entertainment,
and we see the changes
in social media. Right. Case in point, the surge in the number of teens who are identifying as transgender over the last 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. where the NIH in Britain is the first place I've seen do this study, where they said that, you know, 5 or 6 years ago there were only dozens of young girls who were declaring themselves transgender, and now it's in the thousands.
It's because of virtual peer pressure
yes.
through social media. They
right.
suddenly feel like they need to do something like that to be loved.
Right, right. So you've got that pushing the agenda. But the ironic thing here is that we've got these mixed messages that have been coming from scientists and from politicians, very prominent ones. In fact, a court just ruled against the governor and the mayor of New York, saying that, look, you're treating religious gatherings completely differently than you're treating protests, and you can't do that. You just cannot do that. If you had been silent about the protest, or, you know, discouraged the mass gatherings without criticizing the reason for the gatherings, that would be fine. But you were encouraging people to go out and protest while at the same time telling grieving families, for example, in the case of Mayor de Blasio, you know, no, you can't attend the funeral of your beloved grandfather because of COVID-19. But a team from the University of Colorado Denver just actually published a study that said the protests are actually slowing the spread of the disease.
What?
I know. It's like a parody say, but not the Babylon Bee.
Oh, it's newspeak.
Yes, they say that and this is the rationale behind their study.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a break.
Well, we'll get to that, and we'll get to the flying snakes too. When we come back. How about that? We'll explain to you why mass gatherings of thousands of people in the streets actually is good for public health.
He's joking.
Yeah, of course. That's ahead on Sci Friday.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com. Here are the upcoming conferences and events featuring the team from SkyWatch TV. For a full list and complete information, log on to skywatchtv.com/schedule or download the free SkyWatch TV mobile app for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets.
Welcome back to SciFriday from SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I want to really quickly thank all of you. Many, many, many of you have been ordering this veneration package, the big, big veneration package that is the $100 one. And I say that, I know that because I see that they're still boxing them up out in the studio, out in the warehouse. I mean, so thank you from my heart for helping with Whispering Ponies Ranch.
Right. We are the publishers of Sharon's fiction series. So when you buy that set, we donate all of those to SkyWatch TV so that all of the proceeds then can then be used for the operations at Whispering Ponies Ranch. And sadly, because of COVID-19, no camps this year, but you still have to feed and care for the therapy horses. So that's the reason that we continue to talk about this.
And there have been new little ponies born. Mm-hmm. They need to be trained to, you know, around individuals. And I'll tell you what, Nita Horn and company, everybody who volunteers over there, it's an incredible place. So I am just thankful to the Lord that we get to work here.
Amen.
Snakes.
Well, first, the study on why protests are actually slowing the spread, according to the team.
Is it snakes?
Well,
in a way. In a spiritual sort of way.
Co-author of the paper said, "We think what's going on is that people who are not going to the protest are staying away. The overall effect for an entire city is more social distancing because people are avoiding the protests." That's the rationale. Now, my response
to that
was...
Okay, you could just set off a stink bomb in the middle of town.
Well, yeah.
People would stay away.
Police have been doing, sort of, you know, with the flashbangs and so forth. I think people... Human nature being what it is, you see these mixed messages coming from the media. On the one hand, saying you've got to stay home to slow the spread, you've got to wear a mask all the time, but it's fine to go out in large groups of tens of thousands of people and protest. People seeing that, I think, react differently from what the researchers here claim. We see the conflicting information and say, they're not serious about this. I need to go to the home center to get some supplies. So I'm going. I'm not staying home. So anyway, they're trying to steer the public, but the messages are getting mixed.
But they're also trying to divide the public.
And that's it. I think that's the bigger issue here.
And that experiment took place in the 60s as well.
Yes. That it was a deliberate effort to get groups, to keep groups angry. You ever wonder why certain political problems, certain tensions between various groups in our country never get solved? It's because there are principalities and powers behind the scene who don't want them fixed. So they benefit from that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah, snakes.
Well, we'll get to snakes here in a minute. Okay. I just was wondering, were you aware of this Elon Musk and his brother story?
I saw the headline, but I was not had not had a chance to read it.
Apparently they're being mocked because they don't believe the coronavirus media stories.
Well, I'd say
they question the reliability of the test. And they question the data that is coming out regarding numbers. How about that?
Yeah.
It's the same thing you and I say all the time. We just don't get noticed for it.
Exactly. Which is probably good.
I think that's really, really good. Elon Musk, he's an interesting guy.
He is. Interesting is an interesting word for it.
He, by the way, is... I started to say something about him. Actually, SpaceX, that's him, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, SpaceX just sent up one of NASA's satellites for GPS.
Yeah.
It's not one of his little LEOs, low Earth orbit ones, that's going to be part of his Starlink system. This is something for NASA. So NASA is now starting to pay SpaceX.
Right. And I just wonder why that continues when we keep seeing stories about once a week of another Tesla that was on autopilot, failing to recognize an obstacle in the path and running smack into something at full speed.
I guess maybe NASA looks at that and thinks, okay, it's cheaper.
I don't know. It's like that line from the character in the film Armageddon. You realize we're sitting on top of a nuclear reactor that was built by the lowest bidder.
Like Russian, American, all made in Taiwan.
Exactly.
Well, the snakes. We have to talk about the snakes because I think this is something the kids are going
to
love.
Well, yeah, and it just speaks to the design. When God created all of the species and created us all wonderfully and fearfully,
you know, I can almost see a children's story on this Sammy the snake.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's there are certain types of snakes that are called flying snakes. I think they tend to be in tropical areas like India. But they don't really fly. They're like flying squirrels. They actually glide. So they will launch themselves off of a branch and stay aloft for a few seconds before they guide themselves and glide themselves to a spot on the ground where they want to be. In other words, they intentionally go in a certain direction. It was always thought that they were just panicking when they were in the air, that they were twisting around in the snake. No, researchers have actually discovered that they are intentionally moving their bodies, flexing their rib cages so that they can move with air currents, and their body shape literally changes from spherical to the shape of a triangle, delta.
In other words, sort of a rudimentary airfoil.
Yes, exactly. It becomes more aerodynamic.
So this is sort of like hang gliding.
Yeah, a little bit, but isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, if you wanted to have a children's story, you could say Sammy the snake had been told that at one time snakes had wings.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't have to crawl on their bellies.
It was an interesting, and I think I can grab this video and incorporate this into the into what you're seeing here. But it shows the snake dropping from a height down to the floor. Again, as you say, they're gliding. They're not really flying, and these flights only last a few seconds. And it can look like they've accidentally fallen from the tree, but they're actually doing this purposefully. And they've got, here's where I want to land, and they managed to twist themselves in a way to do it.
Isn't that amazing? And again, that's the Lord's design. That is his design. And there must be a reason why the snakes behave that way, why they prefer to do that. You and I were joking this morning and saying somewhere along the line, way back in the elder days of snakes, somebody fell out of a tree and all the girl snakes went, "Ooh, look what he did." They all said, "He's the one." And suddenly all the snakes inherited this idea that I'm going to fall from trees, and that's the only way they can keep the girls liking them.
Yeah, and so that trait was passed down through DNA.
Or the story was passed down, "Son, if you want to get a girl, you got to do this. I know it looks stupid, but trust me, they love it."
Yeah, no. God designed them this way to fill a specific niche in an ecosystem.
That's what I think, too. Yeah. I think
of course,
it's
we know the real reason that they did it. They're trying to get away from Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah, well.
Well, we pray that you have a safe and blessed holiday weekend. And you just remember, you know, we are citizens of this earth and of this nation for just a short while. But our eternal home, that's the kingdom, that is the nation to which you want to belong. Because you're going to be there a lot longer than this nation, this land in which, how's the song go? "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through."
Amen.
Yeah. Have a blessed weekend, and thank you for watching. This is Sci Friday from SkyWatch TV.